We are glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
He's got the Bible.
Oh, hallelujah.
Special ways of talking with us. Well, Jesus, he was such a great communicator. Jesus always had such a great way of communicating. He was always able to speak the truth. Often that truth would confront. However, he always spoke that truth, that confronting truth in love, right? He's always been able to do that. He does it even now. We've experienced it, right? How he confronts us, and it's like, ooh, that hurt, but I know you love me. And he does that even now, and he did this in Mark chapter 4 with the use of parable. A parable is a succinct story, that's a short story, that illustrates an instructive principle. It's a story that teaches, and it uses symbolism in order to teach. That's what a parable is. And what you just saw on the screens here was the telling of the parable of the sower. Some people call it the parable of the seed. All right? I believe that Jesus wants to confront us with love through his parable of the seed today. As our video described, the parable contains three symbols. And Jesus uses these three symbols in order to teach. And he wants to use those symbols today. Those symbols are the seed, the soil, and the sower. We need to understand this symbolism and draw application from it for our lives. Is that okay? Y'all ready to do that? Yes. So let's start with the seed. What is the seed? What does the seed represent? Well, thankfully, if you're totally confused by this parable, Jesus explains it in Mark 4. He tells it, and then his disciples were literally like, what in the world was that about? And he says, this is what it means. And so here he goes explaining it. Mark chapter 4, verse 14. The farmer sows the word. All right? So the farmer, he's sowing out this seed. So the seed is the word. It's the word. We are scattering seed right now in this place. We're preaching the word of God, and we do it every time we come together. We receive the word of God together. We are sowing the seed. of the Word of God. It is the Scripture. You open up the Bible. That is seed. And how many knows you've opened up that Bible before and it has spoken to you right where you needed to be spoken to. All right, it happens. If you've never experienced it, you ought to try it. It works, it works, it works. And it's no magical thing. It's because that word is alive and God's alive and he's gonna take you right to the Scripture you need to know. So the seed is the Word of God. It's the gospel. Amen. You know, what I want you to really know is the seed is more than just some obscure reference in Leviticus about you should wear bells on your clothing. The word really in this story is about the gospel. All right? And that is the seed that's being sown. In fact, the word, we'll go a little further. The word is Jesus himself. It's more than just the scripture. That word that's being sown in this story is Jesus. And let's talk about that. If you really want proof of that, we can go there. Here it is. The word for word. Everyone say the word for word.
Word for word.
That we just read in Mark 4:14. The farmer sows the word. That Greek word is logos. Spelled L-O-G-O-S. Logos. It means a word uttered by a living voice, a thought, or conception. So, the farmer sows the logos. This word logos is very big because this word also shows up in John chapter 1, verse 1. Let's read that. In the beginning was the logos, the word. And the word was with God, and the word was God.
Amen. All right.
All right. We read on down to John chapter 1, verse 14. And it says this, the Logos, the Word, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So I ask you, all right, we've got Logos. And Logos is evidently who?
Jesus.
It's evidently Jesus. And in this parable of the seed of the sower, the farmer is planting Logos. Who is the Logos?
Jesus.
Jesus shows up in the own parable he's telling.
Right.
Isn't this great? Yeah. The seed is the word, but it's so much more than scripture. It's so much more than a dusty book you read. When we're talking about the word, we're talking about the person who is Jesus, the person who is your Savior, the person who literally went on that cross and died for your sin. All right? He's the Logos. And it's no surprise that he is being compared to the seed, because these are words that Jesus himself spoke in John chapter 12, 24 through 25. Very truly, I tell you, Jesus says, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. All right, what is Jesus saying here? Well, he is that kernel of wheat that has fallen to the ground and died. And because he did that, he didn't just abide alone, but he gave his life for us. And his death and then his resurrection has brought out many seeds. I look in this place, and Jesus would want also you to know that you are the seed being now sown in this story because of that seed. But he is that true seed. He is that first seed. And there is no other seed to take his place. Can I get an amen, Redemption Church?
Amen.
No other seed. He is that one that fell to the ground and died, but he did not remain a dead single seed. He brings life. And isn't that what a seed does? It brings life. Life. So the seed is who?
Jesus.
It is Jesus Christ. All right. So that's number one. Now we're going to talk about the soil. All right. The soil. The only variable in this story is the soil.
All right.
You've got one seed present in this parable. You've got one sower present in this parable. But you've got four different kinds of soil. So we're going to take some time. We're going to talk about the soils. What in the world is the soil? Well, there are four kinds of soil. Number one is the pathway. Some seed fell on the pathway. Some seed fell on rocky places. Some seed fell on weedy ground full of thorns, and some seed fell on good ground. These four soils represent people. Say people. They represent four different responses people can make to the seed. All right? In other words, these are four different responses people can make when they have Jesus sown into their life. Right? People that are sharing the gospel with other people. If you want to share the word of God with someone, you should listen up, because the people you share the word with are going to respond in one of these four ways. Every time. These are the four responses. So let's talk about it. Remember, soil is, seed is Jesus. So number one, we're going to talk about the path. The path. Mark chapter 4, verse 14. Let's read about it. Some people are like seed along the path, where the seed is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. In our little video, you saw these birds come, and he was being symbolic. Those birds are like Satan himself, and as soon as the word is thrown out there into their life, Satan arrives, and he snatches that word, and he takes it off like a bird would take the seed. This is Satan we're talking about. This is big stuff. Yeah. Let's just say this. When the word is being delivered, Satan pays attention. I believe the number one reason Satan shows up at churches is because the word is being preached. The seed is being brought out. And when Jesus is being presented, he would love nothing more than to just reach in and steal that out. Let me also tell you this, that when you're sharing Jesus with your friends, you ought to be aware that there is a spiritual adversary that wants to fight you sharing Christ. He wants to. That's not just like on his priority list, like number five. That is his priority list. He doesn't even have a list. It's one thing. Stop Christ. That's all he wants to do. Right? So when you're sharing this word, the seed is being sown, he shows up. All right? But guess what? The word Satan here means more than this spiritual lord of darkness. Satan here simply means this: adversary. Adversary. So I want to tell you this, that when the word of God is being sown, it's not always the devil, Satan, the lord of darkness, Lucifer, that specific angel that fell, that's trying to steal it. Sometimes just an adversary comes up. All right? So guess what? When this word is preached, you ought to expect an adversary to show up. That's one of the four things that can happen. An adversary comes and he steals it. It could be someone comes up and they says, "Oh, you believe that Bible stuff? That's ridiculous," or something like that. But an adversary, nonetheless, shows up, and the word of God, that seed can be taken away. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 through 12. It says this: "They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved." We'll just stop there for a second. They perished. Why? Because they were really bad people? They perished. We're talking hell here, okay? We're going to be dark here. They went to hell. They perished because they had secret sin in their life. They perished because they didn't go to church enough. They perished because, no, it says here, they perished because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. Gotta say it. Part of being saved is loving the truth. Today's world of churches in this very city on this Sunday morning, many people were led in a sinner's prayer, and I'm thankful for that. I thank God for the sinner's prayer. I'm thankful that people repented and said that prayer. But guess what? Some people pronounced them saved and they walked out of that door of the church and never returned. That hurts my heart, because although they said such a powerful prayer, although they made such a great first step towards Jesus Christ, they have not developed the love for the truth. And if you don't develop that love, you're going to perish. It goes on, verse 11. For this reason, God, oh, it gets really weird. Get ready for weird. Get ready for weird. Fluid's preaching, he's going to bring you something weird. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion. What? Satan sends them the powerful delusion, right? No, God sends them the powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie. Verse 12, and so that all will be condemned and have not, who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. What is going on here? Well, we're going to explain. God is big on free will. We talk about this a lot. God is big on free will. God wants your worship. He doesn't want to force you to worship. God wants you in heaven. He's not going to force you to go to heaven. In fact, the reason there's a place called hell is for free will. If you do not want to be in God's eternal presence, there's a place for that. It's called hell. And so if God brings his truth, and who is the truth? Jesus Christ. Oh, man, it's like he just keeps reoccurring in this story today. He is the way, the truth, and he is the life. If God sends his truth into this world and you take a look at it and you go, oh, that's nice, but I don't really love it, that is a dangerous place to be. So let this be a warning. You're going to get several warnings today. Here's one warning. You got to love the truth. You don't just say, that's a really good truth, and just walk away. We're talking a marriage kind of love. We had a marriage here yesterday, and they stood right here, and they said, till death do us part, for better or worse, I do. And they did that out of love, and that love was this unbreakable bond. When you fall in, when you see the truth, you ought to marry it. You ought to fall in love with it, and you ought to say, for better or worse, till death do us part, I am with this truth. And Jesus is that truth. And is it any surprise that the church is his bride? You got to fall in love with the truth, because there's these birds. There's this Satan. There is this adversary that wants to show up and steal the word of God from you. Just a second. Just answer this in your heart. As good as Jesus has been to you and how much you love him, wouldn't it be terrible to lose him suddenly? It can happen. It can happen. He can't be taken away from you except that you didn't love him. Want you to know, warning, the adversary is here today. I am preaching the best word of God I've got in my heart. It is so in my heart. I know it's for someone here today, but I know this, the adversary is here. And anything that tries to steal what you know to be true about Jesus, it's the adversary. I don't care if they're really your best friend. If they come up to you and they say thus and so, and they're trying to steal that seed from you, that's the adversary. This is why Jesus is talking, and then suddenly Peter says something unagreeable. And he immediately turns to him and says, get thee behind me, Satan. Oh, this is Peter. This is Peter that preaches Acts chapter 2. This is Peter that walks out on the water with him. This is Peter, one of the first people that comes to the tomb to see him. This is your dude, Jesus. No, it's not. It's Satan at this point. Because there's an adversarial thing in there. And he recognized it. So here's the deal. Recognize Satan when he shows up. Recognize the adversary when he shows up. If someone is trying to steal Jesus from you, if someone is trying to steal the gospel truth from you, name that what it is. That's Satan. You don't have to call them to their face, Satan, and then say, well, Pastor Chris told me to call you Satan. I get weird phone calls then. Don't do that. But realize that's the adversary trying to steal. That's the pathway. Number two, the rocky places. Mark chapter 4. 16 through 17. Others like seeds sown on rocky places. hear the word, and at once receive it with joy. Awesome. Hallelujah. That's good stuff. At one time, they just say, I'm going to receive it, and it's a joyous moment. Verse 17, but since they have no root, they only last a short time. And when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Remember when you first found Jesus? Wasn't it exciting? Wasn't it powerful? Could anyone wipe that smile off your face? Could anyone take away that pure feeling? Remember that pure, pure feeling when he first forgave you of your sins? Do you remember that feeling? Don't forget that feeling, people. That is Jesus. That is, oh man, that's like buying the truth and loving the truth. It's exciting. It's powerful. But be careful. Because there's some seed that falls on the ground, but it falls in rocky places. And there's only so much soil for that seed. And it starts to take root. It finds its place in that soil. Little roots go down, but they run right into rock. And so those roots, they can't go deep enough. Those roots, they can't go far enough. And what should have been a great plant, what should have been a great life in Christ, is short-lived. That's the rocky place. That's the rocky place. It lacks depth. You see, you can have this exciting moment with Jesus, and everybody ought to have that exciting moment with Jesus. And we are going to celebrate with you every time you have an exciting moment with Jesus at Redemption Church. We love that. We live for that. We are baptizing some people next week. Who's excited about that? I'm excited about that. I'm pumped about that. The Bible says that the angels in heaven, they look down and they see one soul repent. Repent. And the whole place goes crazy. They're joyous. These are powerful things. We get excitement, and that's awesome. But guess what? You've got to go on, and you've got to create room for the seed. You got to create room for Jesus Christ, or you're going to be short-lived, or you're going to lack depth. Warning. In the short, like, six-year history of Redemption Church, we have more than a few rocky place stories. There's one guy in particular. He shows up with his wife, and he was so excited. He wrote, we all know exactly what he wrote on his visitor card. He wrote these words: "We are here." And they were so excited. They talked to us after service, and they said, "Oh my goodness, Redemption Church is just the place for us. We're just so excited to be here. This is just so great. We're like going insane. This is the exact church we've been asking." And he goes on and on. In fact, brother, let me tell you that I had a dream where God, you know, he said the word redemption to me. And then I found this church, and then here it is. And so I'm here. We are here. You can count on it. We are here, and we are so excited. Never saw them again. What is that? I'll tell you what that is. That's rocky place. And let me tell you, that experience right there, that moment, sometimes we call that a counterfeit moment. It's not counterfeit at all. He was really excited. He really found something great. I believe God really did speak to him the name Redemption. I believe he was here for this purpose. But he lacked the depth. I'm speaking to some people that you've received Jesus Christ with joy. Now it's time for you to get some depth. It's time for you to let the seed of Jesus Christ grow way deep into your life, all the way through your heart, all the way to every part of your life. Will you receive that today, Redemption Church? Can we as a church say that? I know some rocky place churches where they have these confined spaces and Jesus can go exactly this deep. We don't want to be that kind of church. Can I get a huge amen on that? Oh, Jesus, come have your way in us. Go as deep as possible. We want that seed to just take root and never die. We want it to live forever. Amen. Let me point out this, verse 17. But since they have no root, they last only for a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. I want to get this for you. That's verse 17 of Mark 4. When trouble or persecution comes, why does persecution come? Because of the word. The seed is the word. Actually, what ends up, persecution is going to come on this soil, on this person, because of the seed that God has sown into their life. And that persecution comes, and because they have not received the depth, because they have not given space to it and let that seed put in roots, they fall away. Get this. Persecution is going to come on you because of Jesus. Persecution is going to come upon you because of the word I'm preaching to you. I'm really apologetic about that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that that would be the case, but that's how it is. Because, again, the pathway, who shows up? The adversary. And persecution comes to those in the rocky place. And it really comes to us all, but those in the rocky place, they don't have the depth. Persecution is going to come because of Jesus. What we preach every week is a dangerous message. It's life-giving, but man, you better get ready for a fight when you really receive the Word of God. Number one, we've already asked this, has God ever talked to you? And we had several people raise their hands, and there's that wonderful thing, yes, God talked to me, but then that voice comes and goes, was that really God? Yeah. Right? Maybe someone came up to you and said, oh, that wasn't really God, that's silly, right? So persecution, Jesus is not an escape from persecution. He's an escape from a lot of things, but he's not an escape from persecution. He's actually a bullseye. He's actually a big neon sign that says persecution right here. He's an invitation for persecution. So we've talked about the pathway, and we have talked about the rocky place. And now number three, we're going to talk about weeds and thorns. Are you still with me? A lot of scripture today. We're trucking right on. Mark 4, verse 18. Still others, like seed sown among the thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. They hear the word. Unlike rocky places, that word actually has all the access beneath it to just get as much root and as much life and to grab hold of that life as it wants to. That seed has plenty of space, except above it. For above it are these weeds. Above it are these thorns. And this is the life of a person that receives the word of God. They really, really do. There are doctrines out there that will tell you this. Someone comes in to the church and everyone thinks they're saved, but then they fall away, and then someone walks up and says, well, they were really never saved. Baloney. Baloney. Wrong. They had Jesus. They received this truth of Jesus. They received the saving message of Jesus. They received the seed. But the things of life, the worries, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in, and it chokes the word, it makes it unfruitful, and that seed doesn't survive. Be careful when you use the word but when talking to Jesus. That first time you got saved, that moment where he filled you with his spirit, that moment where he just washed your sins away, and it was just such an encounter like any other encounter. You never said the word but in that encounter. You said, I'll do anything you want. I'll do anything. You like took all the limits off and said, Jesus, here I am. Take me all the way. I don't care what I look like. I don't care that I'm crying and there's like just tears falling down. And I don't care what people look and think of me. I don't care. All right? But the weedy, thorny ground, it uses the word but. In Luke chapter 2, verse 59 through 61, Jesus is talking. He said to another man, follow me. Now pause. Can anyone tell me anyone else that Jesus ever said follow me to? His disciples, right? How about that for a recruitment? Follow me. Follow me. He just walked up to Peter. He walks up to Andrew. He walks up to John. He walks up to a tax collector. He says, follow me. No, he's doing that again. Do you see this? What a powerful moment. This guy has such a moment in front of him. He said to another man, verse 59, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Verse 60, Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another, upon being said, follow me, he says this, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. These people never are accounted as making it as disciples. We never know what happens to these people. Jesus wanted more for these people than what ended up happening. Can we all agree with that? Amen. Warning, some really good things can keep you from Jesus. This is the hardest part of my sermon. I want you to really get this. I want you to pay attention to it. Relationships, jobs, and opportunities, really good things, can keep you from Jesus Christ. This man in Luke chapter 2 was saying a noble thing. I want to give honor to my father who's passed away. I want to be with my family for a short time. These are admirable things. These are honorable things. And in your life, you've got relationships that really matter and they're important. And you've got job opportunities. You've got an opportunity to make more money than you've ever made in your life. That's a great opportunity. And we thank God for those opportunities. We really do. But if those opportunities come up and they start to choke out the Word of God, if they start to choke out the seed and everything that Jesus wants to do in your life, that's a detriment to you. It could very well be that you're sitting in this church today, but a year from now, you won't be here. Why? Well, it happens in churches. A lot of times people say, well, you know, I'm just not getting anything out of the sermons anymore. I don't know. Usually what it is outside influences have come, outside things have come, and they've just choked off that word. They've choked off those things. Now, let me be very clear. Let me be very honest and open with you. All right? If you need that money and you need that job, you go get that job. And if it takes you out of church on a Sunday, okay. If it takes you out of Connect Group on a Wednesday, all right. However, let me be very clear. If you are missing the place where we come and we gift wrap for you the Word of God and we're feeding you spiritually and you are now cut off from that, you better learn to feed yourself because you will fall away. And that's on you. We want to help you. Let us know how we can help you. But we can't do anything for you if you don't learn to feed yourself. All right? I just feel so burden in my heart to tell someone that where you are right now in Jesus Christ might fall away because of stuff that's really good. You've experienced growth. You've experienced great things in Jesus. God really wants to use you, but Mark 4, verse 19, but the worries of this life, but the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. If you wonder if you're this person, I've got a little litmus test for you. Over the last 3 months, are you less fruitful? Because that's what the weeds and the thorns do. They come up and they choke and they make you unfruitful. So this isn't a guilt trip, but you need to look at your life and say, am I doing less in the kingdom of God? Is there less fruit being shown in my life? Have you gone from being a soul winner to you barely talk about Jesus? Have you gone from someone that really prays and worships and seeks God and just doesn't care what anyone thinks about it to someone that's a little shy? Have you? Because that's reverse, and you need to see that happening, and you need to be honest about it. Are you less fruitful? Because a $4 an hour raise is not worth that. I believe that with all my heart. And I believe if you put first the kingdom of God, seek first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added unto you. Everything that you ever wanted, he's going to give you. You don't have to provide your own riches. You don't have to provide your own wealth. He provides all your needs according to his riches in glory. So we've talked about the pathway. Satan comes in and he steals it immediately. We've talked about the rocky place, and it just didn't have the depth, and so it was short-lived. And now we've talked about the seed that fell into the weeds and the thorns and the things of life, the cares of this world, and just other things in general have choked it away. Now, number four, finally, we get to talk about the good ground. Somebody said the good ground. Mark chapter 4, verse 20. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. Good soil. Question, why is it good? Just is. Nowhere in this parable does Jesus just take time and explain it's good soil. He explains what's wrong with the rocky soil. He explains what is wrong with the pathway. And he explains what's wrong with the weedy, thorny ground. But then he just out of nowhere declares this ground's good and it just works here. And let me tell you, we're just going to talk about it for a second. There's some doctrines that just believe some people can be Christian and some people can't. There are doctrines that believe some people are predestined to be saved and some people are predestined to not be saved. And we don't believe that's what Jesus is saying here at all. We believe that he so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him, that means that anyone can come to faith in Jesus Christ. We believe that with all our hearts. So this soil, it's not about some people are good and one out of four people are good. One, two, three, four, you're good and all y'all aren't. That's not what this is about. Don't think for a second. So what is it that makes this good? Let me tell you, it's the seed itself. Man, it's Jesus himself that makes the soil good. Doesn't that just resonate with your heart? It's really Jesus. It's not that I'm a good person. It's really that Jesus Christ is somewhere in this life working. That's what makes me good. That's what makes anything I do good. Good ground lets the seed have room, lets the seed have space, and lets the seed grow. The priority and space that the soil gives to the seed, that's what makes it good. So the question is for you, are you good soil? Redemption Church, are you good soil? Take into inventory what kind of space and what kind of room and priority you are giving to Jesus Christ today. Mark chapter 4, verse 30 says this, again he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed. He goes on with the seed analogy. The mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth, yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all the garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. The good ground that gives space and priority to Jesus Christ, it experiences crazy growth. Maybe there's been a time in your life where you experienced crazy growth spiritually. It was like every time you turned around, you were soul winning. Every time you opened up the Bible, it was like ding. Every time you got in the presence of God, it was like you were immediately in the presence of God. And let me tell you what that was about. That was about being good ground. That was about giving space and priority to it. And if you're not in that moment anymore, you need to look at the other grounds. But right now we're talking about good ground. He talks about this small little seed that when it finds its place in good ground, it shoots up the largest plant in the entire garden. Isn't that how the kingdom works? Isn't that how truth works? This little thing that you thought was so insignificant, you many times you didn't even think twice about this whole religion, Jesus thing, but when you received it, it made all the difference. Amen. I remember looking over my life and coming to church, being drugged to church every Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night, and Tuesday night prayer. I remember it very well. I wouldn't miss one because my dad wouldn't let me. And I remember thinking, what's this whole thing about? Is this really something I'm going to receive in my life? I remember thinking that as a young kid, but I remember that little thing that I thought was so insignificant. I remember one day it tapped me on the shoulder, and it was the seed. It was Jesus Christ. And I remember he embraced me so unexpectedly. And what transpired was this unbelievable love, was this unbelievable thing. And this crazy growth happened. And I haven't grown every day in Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you this. I am so shocked that I'm standing here today and I am preaching to you about this Jesus Christ. I never thought it would have happened. But just what happened? I just gave some space to Jesus. And here I am. I was in Waco, Texas, and I was on my way to be a broadcast journalist. I was already going to the University of Texas at Arlington. It was my life. I was going to be a broadcast journalist. And then I had just a mustard seed moment with Jesus Christ outside of a Taco Cabana in Waco, Texas. Isn't that where all Holy Ghost experiences happen, at a Taco Cabana in Waco, Texas? And I just had this moment, and I was like, God, what are you doing? And I decided I was going to go to my car, and I gave God the next hour of my life, and it changed the rest of my life. Here I am today. Because of that hour I gave God, that space and that priority I gave to God. I said, God, if you want to talk to me at Taco Cabana, let's go somewhere really private so you can just talk to me. Next week, we're baptizing someone. We talk about repentance a lot. You know what these powerful things are? It's cleaning out stuff. Yeah. Repentance is, I've got all this junk in here, turn away from it. Baptism is, I've got all this filth covering my life, I'm going to go down in the name of Jesus, and it's all gone. You know what that does? It creates space. Yeah. It makes Jesus Christ the priority. And you know what happens whenever the apostles talk about repent and be baptized? What comes next? Oh, I'm going to ask again because I. What happens next? Repent and be baptized in what? You're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. If you would create some space in your life for Jesus to operate, if you will make him that priority through repentance and through baptism, he will fill your life with him. It's the seed. That life starts springing up in you. Amen. The Bible says if you're buried with him in baptism, and you rise and you walk in what? Newness of life. It's like that seed is taking root. And it happens in good soil. It doesn't happen in smart soil. It doesn't happen in really talented soil. Let me tell you this. Jesus never talks about the soil in real depth. He doesn't say, well, is there a water source nearby the soil? He doesn't say, is it fully sunny or is it partly shady soil? Is it clay? Is it alkaline versus acidic? Has it been fertilized lately? No. The only thing that makes that soil good is the space and priority it gives to the seed. What happens when we preach something hard and difficult to you? We have to do that sometimes. Let me tell you, we don't enjoy it. We're not like, ha, 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 just wait till I tell them this. But we look in the Word of God, and it says something challenging, and it says something hard, and it hits you like a freight train. How are you going to respond to that? Are you going to give space to that Word? Are you going to give priority to that Word? Mark 4 and 20. Others like seed sown on good soil. They hear the word. They accept it and produce a crop. This is just eating my lunch all week long. They produce. And they don't just produce another plant. All my life I just thought that's the goal of a Christian, just produce another Christian. Just produce another Christian. I asked a while ago, are you good soil? This is really challenging because good soil doesn't just produce another plant. It produces another crop. You aren't just called to affect a few people for Jesus Christ. Can I tell you that? Will you receive that? You are not called to just receive this seed and just like share it with a few people. You are called to become one seed and turn into a crop that's alive and fruitful. He says this, that some are 30 seed, that some are 30, some are 60, and some are 100 times what was sown. So I ask you, are you producing a crop? And then I'm going to ask you this, what was sown? What was sown? It produces 30 times, 60 times, 100 times. What was sown? What was sown was absolutely, it was Jesus. And it was everything that Jesus Christ has ever done for you. It was the cross of Calvary. It was being born in a manger. It was that prayer that he prayed in the garden. It was him looking next to him and seeing a thief and not looking away, but inviting him into paradise. These are the things. His blood and his flesh, that is what was sown. And not just that, but that risen Christ. That risen Christ that's alive and is still sowing into our lives, that is still very much alive and still speaking into us. What's been sown into your life? You want to hear the biggest challenge of the day? Here it is. Everything that Jesus Christ has sown into you, multiply it by 30. And that's what good soil does. I've told you all that to tell you this. I don't think I'm good soil. Feel free to raise your hand in this place if you think you are good soil, that you've obtained that. The Apostle Paul said that he had not obtained. I think if the Apostle Paul were here right now, he would say, amen, I'm not good soil either. And that's not a condemning thing. What that is simply saying is, I've got some more space to give to Jesus Christ. I've got some things that he needs to be priority and Lord over. Do you receive that in this house today? Can you just close your eyes for a second and just say that prayer? God, I have some space for you. I need to open up my life to you, God. In Jesus' name, as the musician comes, the last thing I'm going to talk about, and I'm going to be opening up this altar in 2 minutes. The sower. Who is the sower? Well, as you, no surprise, it is God. God is the sower. the seed is Christ and people are the soil. So we know that God, he is the ultimate sower. He sent his son to us, John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. I used to think this about the parable. What a sloppy farmer. Wasting seed. He threw it over there. A little better aim, sower. Yeah, rocky ground. Great job. I used to think that way. Why would he waste his seed on bad ground? On the pathway soil, on stony, on weedy and thorny ground. Here's the deal. The other grounds are never called bad ground. Only one ground is called good. That's true, but he doesn't call the other ground bad. If you're in this place, it doesn't matter what kind of ground you are, he does not call you bad. And it doesn't matter what you've done in your life, he has the seed, which is Jesus Christ, present. And that seed is actively around you, trying to minister to you, trying to move into your life. Do you believe that today? The seed was not a mistake. He has put the seed, he has put Jesus here on purpose. And today we've talked about the Word of God, which is the seed. But it's more than that, it's Jesus. So I want you to know, very, very real way, I mean it with all my heart, that Jesus Christ is right here today. And you get to decide what kind of space, what kind of priority you're going to give to the Lord Jesus Christ. This altar is open already. You don't have to wait for another word. You can come to this altar and start giving space, start giving priority to Jesus Christ. In this place, we always designate the first 2 feet a place where prayer happens. If you want prayer in this place, you come in the first 2 feet. Let me be very clear. This first 2 feet, it doesn't mean that you have gross sin in your life. It doesn't mean you even have some calamity thing you need prayed over. It could simply mean this. You want to give more space to Jesus. You want to give more priority to Jesus. And we want to pray that with you today.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at www.redemption-church.com and be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.